Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, September 24, 2023, Romans.
All right, before we get started, first things first, two birthdays today. Jamie one. Jamie Wertrees, and Clay told me he gave you the best birthday gift of all, himself. You lucky girl, you. And Jim Magnum gave you the greatest gift of all. I hope you picked it up. And you hear this every class. And Friends of Israel, I got a letter from them, and you hear this every class. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that is why we're here, because there's nothing more important that you will ever, ever do in this life than what you do when you assemble here to fellowship with God in His Word, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that you might fulfill His plan, will, and purpose for each one of your lives. This is number one. So if you're turning your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. The greatest chapter in the New Testament Scriptures teaching about the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's so important for you to know this doctrine inside and out and to think that everything, all the principles that are related to this doctrine, think and apply it to your life. And that's where we are in our study of Romans 6. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of Your Word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that You have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 6, let's start verse 11, corrected translation of verse 11. So also, on the one hand, you, royal family of God, you should, and now we have a word, logizomai. The King James has the word reckon. And so, you know, like, well, I reckon I might do it. But the word is logizomai, and it actually has two uses in the New Testament scriptures. So also, on the one hand, you, royal family of God, you should logizomai, you should consider yourself, you should think. Think about the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Think about it. Think about all the divine viewpoint principles that are in here and apply it skillfully and accurately to your life. So this is used here as a thinking verb. You should consider yourselves. Think. To be dead with reference to sin, the sin nature, retroactive positional truth. But on the other hand, you should consider yourself, logizomai, think to be alive with reference to God in Christ Jesus, union with Christ, current positional truth. So the key word here in verse 11 is logizomai. Which looks like that in the Greek, L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I, logizomai. And this is a verb that Paul, the Apostle Paul, has been using throughout Romans. He used it repeatedly in chapter 4 with a different meaning as a verb of imputation, referring to the judicial imputation of the righteousness of God to the believer at the moment he believes in Jesus Christ. At the moment of faith in Christ, God the Father imputes to you His righteousness. He declares you to be righteous, and that is justification by faith. So in Romans 4, he uses it in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 22, verse 23, verse 24, he uses logizomai as a verb of imputation. So first of all, logizomai is a verb of imputation. It may be translated in your Bibles, credited to your account, to credit to one's account or to impute. Now, Paul, in choosing this verb in our passage, Romans 6, verse 11, was certainly thinking of his previous use of it in regard to God, because when God imputes his righteousness to us as salvation, God considers us believers to be righteous. He is considering us to be righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, justification by faith. So the believer whom God considers righteous, logizomai, by faith in Jesus Christ through imputation of his righteousness, the believer should consider himself, logizomai, to be dead to the sin nature, retroactive positional truth, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, current positional truth. So logizomai is not only a verb of imputation, but it is also a verb of thinking. And God wants you to do some thinking. I know that's something that maybe you haven't done for quite some time, but think. Damn it, think. Think about the Word of God. Think about divine viewpoint. Think truth. This is what he wants you to do here. And when it's used this way, it means to evaluate. It means to consider. It means to think. It means to come to a conclusion. You've been thinking about it. You've come to a conclusion. That is the second use of logizomai, and that's how Paul's using it here in Romans 6:11. So again, so also on the one hand, you, royal family, should logizomai. You should think divine viewpoint. You should consider yourselves to be dead with reference to the sin nature, retroactive positional truth. But on the other hand, you should logizomai, consider yourselves to be alive with reference to God in Christ Jesus, union with Christ, current positional truth. This means we can now walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. The first step to walking in newness of life is to logizomai, to think, to consider, to conclude this principle. This newness of life is the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is a supernatural way of life lived by the power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God in your heart. So again, verse 11, so also on the one hand, you, royal family of God, should logizomai yourselves, consider yourselves to be dead with reference to the sin nature, but on the other hand, you should consider yourselves to be alive, logizomai, to be alive with reference to God in Christ Jesus, union with Christ, current positional truth. So at salvation, at that very moment of faith in Jesus Christ, that's when the baptism of the Spirit takes place. And the baptism of the Spirit results in being identified with Jesus Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and identified with Christ in his resurrection, current positional truth. As unbelievers, the old sin nature was the authority and the ruler of our human life. But at salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, positionally, the authority and rulership of the sin nature has been broken. And now we have a new authority and a new ruler. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So after salvation, the sin nature is the old authority and ruler, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the new authority and ruler. Through retroactive positional truth, the authority of the sin nature is broken, and through current positional truth, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is established. Now, experientially, you have an option. You have a decision to make. Are you going to put yourself back under the authority and rulership of the sin nature? Or are you going to keep on under the authority and rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill? Positionally, you are completely dead to the sin nature through retroactive positional truth. However, he's still in your body, and he is constantly trying to get back as the authority and ruler of your human life, and he does that through his lust patterns. The sin nature is made up of lust patterns, and that provides temptation. And those temptations come to you again and again and again. The believer, however, is restrained from succumbing to the temptations of the sin nature by three divine provisions. three grace provisions provided by God to restrain you from succumbing to these temptations. First of all, God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, live your life by the power of the Spirit of God, and then you will not carry out the lust pattern of the sin nature." So the first divine provision given by God in grace to restrain you is the filling of the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. The second divine provision is the Word of God that you believe. Now, I know you all got Bibles there in your lap, and well, that's fine. I'm glad you have Bibles, and I hope you study them and bring them in here. And you have notebooks and all those things, but the Bible is not thy word have I hid in my notebook that I might not sin against thee. The Word of God says, the Word of God I have hid in my heart. You believed it that I might not sin against thee. And that is Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart. That's the target for the Word of God, to get it into your heart, that I might not sin against you. So the second divine provision that restrains us from succumbing to the temptations of the sin nature is the Word of God that we believed and is in our heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. The third divine provision given by God in grace is to restrain us is respect. Respect for divine authority and the principle of divine discipline. And that's Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, "And you," some of the believers in the receiving this, "and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons." Now this tells us that divine discipline is a family matter. It's a family matter. You are royal family of God, and God disciplines you because you are His royal family. But it's a family matter. "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves." This is a family matter, comes from God. "And He punishes everyone He accepts as a son." Now I've been here many moons and taught people, believers, and there are believers that have been here for a while, and then they're gone for a while, and then they're back for a while, and then they're gone for a while. And I was teaching about divine discipline. I was teaching about the fact that you all have a free will. And from that free will, you can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. You can make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, or you can succumb to the temptations from the sin nature. You can succumb and sin and get out of fellowship with God, get into Satan's cosmic system, and you can then live your life in Satan's cosmic system. And when you do that, because you are royal family of God, God will discipline you Why? He doesn't want you to crash and burn. And you're making decisions that you're going to crash and burn. So God is going to discipline you with warning discipline. And if you don't learn from that, there will be intensive discipline. And if you don't learn from that, there will be dying discipline. Now, there are believers that have gotten all the way to dying discipline, and that was enough. They rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, and said, that's a bunch of hooey. Well, I was teaching that, and this one fellow left. He was gone for a while, and all one day, or he came back. When he came back, he marched all the way down, came right up. Pastor Olson, everything you taught about reversionism and divine discipline, it was right. Everything you said, it was exactly what you said. I said, well, you know, there's two ways to learn that. The easy way, believe it, or your way, and that's not the easy way. But I'm glad you learned it. That's fantastic. I said, well, I didn't write it. I just teach it. So the believer is restrained from succumbing to the temptations of the sin nature by these three divine grace provisions. God the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16, metabolized doctrine in the heart, Psalm 119, verse 11, respect for divine authority and the principle of divine discipline, Hebrews 12:5 and 6. Now, in Romans 6, verses 12 and 13, we have the application, how we experientially live this newness of life, Romans 6:4. Therefore, verse 12, therefore do not let the sin nature go on ruling after salvation in your mortal body, with the result that you go on obeying its lusts, the lust patterns of the sin nature. The key verb here is the one translated obey, and obey is hupakuo. H-U-P-A-K-O-U long O. Hupakuo. Hupakuo is a compound word made up of the preposition hupa, which means under, plus akuo, to hear or to listen. So it literally means to listen under authority, to hear under authority. Now the authority is the old sin nature with its lust patterns. Figuratively, it means to obey, to follow, to be subject to. The present tense is a durative present, with the result that you go on obeying the sin nature now that you are a believer, just like you did when you were an unbeliever. And then we have epithumia. E-P-I-T-H-U-M-I-A. Epithumia. Epithumia is a desire for something that is forbidden. A desire for something that is forbidden. It refers specifically to the lust patterns of the sin nature. Therefore, do not let the sin nature go on ruling after salvation in your mortal body, with the result that you go on obeying its lusts, the lust patterns of the sin nature. All right? One. This is a negative command. It's a prohibition. The prohibition comes from God. It comes from God and the Word of God. So here is a negative command or a prohibition that comes from God, from His Word. This is the prohibition for the believer in Jesus Christ. Two, Paul is saying, wake up. Wake up. This has to stop. You have a free will. You can make good decisions or bad decisions. But these bad decisions, they have to stop. Three, after salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer has an option regarding the rulership of the sin nature. After salvation, faith in Christ, the believer has an option regarding the rulership of the sin nature. Four, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit at salvation and retroactive and current positional truth, the rulership and authority of the sin nature has been broken positionally. Positionally. So as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, and this is what Paul, he wants to not only teach this, he wants you to think and apply the principles and truths of this to your life. So as a result of the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, retroactive and current positional truth, the rulership and authority of the sin nature has been broken positionally. Point five. Now, experientially, you have an option. Are you going to put yourself back under the rulership and authority of the sin nature? You do that how? By succumbing to the temptation. By saying yes to the temptation from the lust pattern. When you say yes, you sin. When you say yes and sin, you are out of fellowship with God. And now you enter into Satan's cosmic system, and that's where you're living until you get back into fellowship with God. Now, all of you are going to sin. Why, I even sinned once. And when you sin, don't stay out of fellowship. Rebound, get back into fellowship right away. Keep short accounts. Get right back into fellowship with God. Now, I had some great, great people that I knew and loved. And when I was back at Washington State University, and the Kelso family, Ellen and Dale Kelso. Dale was a deacon in the church at Bethany Bible. He was just as quiet, but excellent, excellent deacon. And then there was Ellen, just the opposite. Loud! And they loved to play bridge. Was that it, bridge? They loved to play bridge. Women against the men. And Ellen played for keeps. And she says, well, when we're playing bridge, the Rostels come in for the weekend. I get out of fellowship right away, and I don't rebound till they leave. I said, I don't remember Pastor Breckel teaching that. Keep short accounts. You're going to sin. You're going to get out of fellowship with God. Okay. Get back into fellowship with God. Keep short accounts. Let's get going. Get up and get going again. So now experientially, are you going to put yourself back under the rulership and authority of the sin nature? Or are you going to live your life under the rulership and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? Six, to live your life under the rulership and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ demands obeying the mind of Christ, the mandates of the mind of Christ, the Word of God. So to live your life under the rulership and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ demands obeying the mandates of the mind of Christ, the Word of God. 7, it demands living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. We're living in the church age. In the church age, God has provided for us, royal family of God, a spiritual life, totally unique, never, nothing like this in the Old Testament. The first person that ever had this was the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. He lived it from the very beginning, from the incarnation and virgin birth. He was indwelt and filled with the Spirit and lived this unique spiritual life the entire time that he was here at the first advent. Then he passed it on to us. He is the head, we are the body. He's passed on the spiritual life to us because we're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And therefore, God has graciously given us this special, unique spiritual life so that we can be winners. Winners in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict and not be casualties. So this demands living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It means obeying the mandate to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. The mandate to get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The mandate to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. And the mandate to grow up to spiritual maturity and have the Lord Jesus Christ make himself at home in your heart, Ephesians 3:17. So again, verse 12 says, therefore, do not let the sin nature go on ruling after salvation in your mortal body, with the result that you go on obeying its lusts, the lust patterns of the sin nature. Now, Paul goes on in verse 13. And here we have a word that the King James has, and neither yield ye your members. Now we had lunch with Randy and Dodie, and we were both at Washington State University at Bethany Bible Church and under the teaching ministry of Ron Breckel. I'm sorry that all of you, or most of you, don't have the privilege of having those fragrant memories. But he had a unique way of communicating to college kids. And the church was, I'd say, 95% all college kids. Very few adults. About 95% college kids. The Campus Crusade for Christ was there, and they came and met with Ron, and Ron told them, he says, all right, now I want you to know, you are not a local church. You are not a local church. If you want to function the way God set it up, you can be an evangelistic arm of this local church, but you are not a local church. Well, they all immediately, yes, sir. And all of them in Campus Crusade, they all came to Bethany Bible Church. And then they learned Bible doctrine at Bethany Bible Church. And then they went out on campus and were an evangelistic arm. And that campus was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Revolutionized. There's never been anything as wonderful and fantastic in the history of Washington State University as those years. Well, we were there. We saw it. And we were growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then taking that, we're on campus, we're in all of our classes, and everywhere I went, I, along with Campus Crusade for Christ, I had the four spiritual laws, and I gave out four spiritual laws, probably thousands of them, all over campus, everywhere. Gave the gospel. And many of them believed in Christ as their Savior. And they believed in Christ as their Savior. Here they come into Bethany. And Bethany, the whole church was filled up with college kids. Wasn't enough room for them. They were going to, had to open the window. They're sitting in the windowsill. They fall out and, you know, break their neck. And, you know, we can't resuscitate them. So we thought we better do something. So they build a balcony. Build a balcony and filled up the balcony. And there still wasn't enough room. So then they took out a wall, had a side room, and filled up the side room. So the auditorium was filled, the side room was filled, the balcony was filled, and they were all college kids. And he, I can still hear Ron. We were talking about spiritual gifts. He was teaching on spiritual gifts. And at this time, I was living at a place with some other fellas, Wilrue Apartments. I was living with three other guys, and Ron was teaching spiritual gifts. And he happened to be teaching on celibacy. I'm with three other guys here, and we're having breakfast. And we're having breakfast. This guy says, I think I have the gift of celibacy. And this guy goes, you know, I think I have the gift of celibacy too. This guy, I think I have the gift of celibacy too. And I said, well, I sure as hell don't. I know that. I know I don't have the gift of celibacy. And then he was teaching on pastor teacher, the gift of pastor teacher. And then here they are. This guy just went from a celibate to a pastor. I think I have the gift of pastor-teacher. I think I have the gift of pastor-teacher. I think I have the gift of pastor-teacher. Everybody in the church thought they had the gift of pastor-teacher. And it got to Ron. And Ron gets up and he says, okay, I'm teaching on spiritual gifts. Whatever I'm teaching, all of you think you have it, like a disease or something. Now I understand, all I hear is, I'm PT, I'm PT, I'm PT, I'm PT, and I'll tell you what it means for most of you. You're potty trained. That's PT. You are potty trained. Well, here's a word. Yield. Yield. Oh, he had talked blood, too. The blood of Christ. And the fun, you know, the fundies get with blood. Oh, you talk about the blood of Christ. And then here's Ron. There's power, power, power in the blood. Well, that's the funding, and they think it's the literal blood of Christ that does, and the literal blood of Christ didn't do anything for your salvation. It was the spiritual blood, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., that period of darkness. That's what provided salvation. But then you talk about yield. All the fundies tell you, yield, brother, yield, yield. What the hell does that mean? What if the pastor's up? What if I could yield? You're not yielding. Yield! Yield! You know, you could yield so much you... You need some Depends or something, you know. So what does yield mean? What? It'd be fun if I just had some of you come up and tell me what yield means. Here we have, neither yield ye your members. The negative disjunctive particle meta plus the present active imperative of the verb pariste me plus the accusative plural of melos plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun sou. Well, we start off with a negative disjunctive particle, mayday. Almost sounds like mayday. Mayday, mayday. M long E D E. Mayday. And mayday is used for the continuation of a preceding negative. It means and not or nor. And now we have the Greek word that is translated, well, and if we anybody knew what yield meant, that'd be fine, but nobody does. The fundi sure don't know what it means. Paristemi. P-A-R-I-S-T, long E-M-I. Paristemi. This is the word. Now, I even brought this up here. This is one volume of nine volumes of the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. This is volume 5, and in this is we all called it at seminary Kittle. Kittle. There are two editors, Gerhard Kittle and Gerhard Friedrich. And well, you got to hear about some of the from the Journal of Biblical Literature, one of the few biblical studies of this generation that is destined for immortality. It has the gift of eternal life. Right there. This was the New York Times, but this had to have been a long, long time ago. There is nothing else quite like Kittle in authority. Met Bruce Metzger, an unparalleled source of information. The most significant contribution to New Testament theology and background material for Old Testament theology. Well, what they did, they went through all these words that are in the New Testament. And paristemi. On pages, in volume 5, this is volume 5. Oh, by the way, you need glasses. The print is so small. And there are no pictures. Nine volume. But in volume 5, pages 837 to 841, Gerhard Kittle and Gerhard Friedrich tell us what paristemi means. It doesn't mean yield. It's a military word. Paristemi is a military word. And it means to place yourself under the command of someone. To place yourself under the command of someone. To put yourself under orders to someone. So here is this word, paristemi. It's a compound word made up of the preposition para. P-A-R-A. And para literally means beside. And then histemi, H-I-S-T, long E-M-I. And that means to stand. So, if you just took a literal translation, it means to stand beside. And that still doesn't tell you what it means. But that's its literal translation. So, point one, paristemi is a compound word made up of par. Preposition para, beside, histemi, to stand. So point two, it literally means to stand beside. But point three is the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, written by Gerhard Kittle, Gerhard Friedrich, Volume 5, pages 837 and 841. And that they tell us this is a military word. You have to know that. You know that, you will get it. What God, and through the Apostle Paul, is teaching here. So it means to place yourself under the command of someone, to put yourself under orders to someone. Point four, so paristeme means you are under the authority of someone else. Paristeme means you are under the authority of someone else. Five, paristeme is the way of saying reporting for duty, sir. Military term, reporting for duty, sir. Six, the old authority of our life as an unbeliever was the sin nature. The old authority of our life as an unbeliever was the sin nature. Seven, positionally, the authority of the sin nature has been broken. Retroactive positional truth. Identification with Christ in his death and burial, and that occurred at salvation, faith in Christ. So positionally, the authority of the sin nature has been broken. Retroactive positional truth. Point eight. So, the present imperative of paristeme with the negative meida says, stop doing something that you are currently doing. Stop doing something that you are currently doing. The present imperative of paristeme with the negative meida. Nine. Our verse, Romans 6:13, says stop placing your members back under the authority of the sin nature. But place yourself under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our verse, Romans 6:13, says stop placing your members back under the authority of the sin nature, but place yourself under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's now our commander. So you need to be saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, reporting for duty, sir. What are the orders, sir? And the Lord Jesus Christ has the orders in the Word of God. That's what the word yield means. See, yield is just a stupid word. Y-I-E-L-D. It'll work in Wordle. That's good enough. We'll take a break and come back. We'll take a break and come back in a few minutes for part two.